Like, who the fuck is you? Like, that was my first response. For me, I can't even ask somebody for a fucking pencil, bro. Like, I am so shy. I also don't ask for, like, what I want. Whole nother conversation for another day. Yeah. Like, ask for what you want type shit. But, like, I was just like, that's a crazy response. If someone literally was like, if I can get you, I'll get you. I would, like, kiss the floor they walk on. Like, that's how I used to be. And I'd be like, bro, like, you know. Never too shy.
Never ever too shy.
We're back. Hi, guys. I'm Paulina.
I'm Tati.
I'm Nestor.
And producer Marco's here.
Is he, though?
I don't know. Is he here?
Are you here?
He says keep going.
I'm here. Hello.
See, he said hello. And we're back in another episode. And we are going to be talking today about the old spring cleaning. But not what you think. We don't have like brooms and mops here. Mm-mm. We're gonna be spring cleaning our lives,
our minds, our lives, our souls,
which I think is like kind of a cool reset. That's why I personally love spring, because to me it's like not a new beginning, because a new beginning can come at any time, right? I think it's just like a way to kind of declutter,
like a freshness, like a fresh season.
Yeah,
the fresh season. Like, I love
you. You feel rejuvenated.
I love
like,
it.
Like, I could breathe now.
My favorite part about spring is that, like, literally physically cleaning, but also like decluttering the stuff in my life, my heart, my mind. So I'm excited to dive into that. Mm-hmm. Before we do, though, we're gonna start with our affirmations. Who's got a good one? Who's starting with us?
I could start, but I don't know if it's a good one. I mean,
it's great.
It's always fun.
You're fabulous. It's fine.
Mine would be like, don't cheat. Would it be like don't cheat?
Don't cheat.
Like basically.
Well, I hope you're not cheating.
No, so not like he's that single, type of he cheating. Can't cheat. Yeah, you're right. Oh my god, putting me on blast though. No, it has to do with the gym. So a lot of times, like I'm with my trainer / my friend, and he's got me like on a tight leash.
Yeah.
My accent comes out of nowhere, but I always think of that, like, you know, like. You're only cheating yourself if you're skipping, like, you know, the amount of times you're supposed to be doing the workout. And so at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to benefit from that, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't cheat on yourself.
No.
Don't cheat yourself.
Don't cheat yourself. I like that.
That's great.
Treat yourself.
Don't cheat yourself. Period.
So, yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. Mine is... Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Damn.
So that one's mine. I think it goes very well into our theme of like decluttering. I think I've been let down multiple times by people, but at some point you have to be like, girl, this ain't new. Like, come on. Take accountability of kind of allowing that to happen to yourself and do better moving forward. So that's my affirmation.
I feel like that's so controversial, though, and only because it's like, fool me once. Okay, obviously, like, I didn't see that coming. The fool me twice thing, I think it's like, I get it, because I'm like, okay, you know, I should have fucking known better.
Yeah.
But I also look at it like, but that's giving somebody a second chance. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, not your fault. Like, you try to see the good in people, but they do the same thing again.
So. And then again.
And then again.
And then again.
Usually the people that you do that with are the people that you love. You know what I'm saying? It isn't like you're letting random people come into your life and you're just giving people chances. It's people that, like, it's your family, it's your, like, close friends.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they let you down. And so I think it's also.
That's real. I think I'm the type of person where I want to see the good in people in general, despite experiences I've had or everything else I've seen and witnessed myself. It's kind of like, girl, you've seen it happen everywhere else, you know? Facts. But. It's okay. It's a learning lesson.
But I think this is more is that more referring to like random people, like not your people, you know what I'm saying? Like when it's my people,
person is my people, but this is somebody close enough on a like I thought we had more respect for each other type thing,
okay,
but not like one of my circle people. If that makes sense.
So I'm saying like you don't
like a colleague almost.
You don't like hold everybody to that is what I'm saying. What I'm asking.
Correct. Yeah.
Gotcha. Love it. I think for me, it would be more of like a sentence. And by that too, it's like kind of like an intro and opener. So like I have like people I know, friends and stuff who are in AA. So they're recovering alcoholics. And I think in the beginning, you're supposed to say like, hi, my name is so-and-so, right? And I'm an alcoholic. So I'm going to say, that's not what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say mine, which is, hi, I'm Paulina, and I'm a recovering people pleaser. Mm-hmm. And I saw that on TikTok, and I was like, this girl's funny. Like, she's talking about people pleasing, but she opens up her, like, monologue in that way. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, first step to get over being a people pleaser was to acknowledge that I was one, which is kind of, I think the first step of the steps in recovery, I want to say, for alcoholics or alcoholism. But I say that because I'm like, I don't think I'm in that era anymore that I once was. And I peep that a lot because I'll see the interactions I have with certain people or just like the way that I am, you know what I'm saying? And I'll just be like, damn, like the old me would have really folded for that. And like the new me is like, I don't really care for it.
I can see that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like really interesting when you like kind of start to realize it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I really am a recovering people pleaser.
Absolutely.
So it's something that like for me kind of falls into my spring cleaning, right? To my decluttering of just like, I don't want to be that person at all anymore. Yep. And I still like, of course, have my moments and everything. Like yesterday I was asked on Friday to pick someone up from the airport. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got you if I can, which I think is like the important thing to state. If it's literally a Sunday night, which already is a Sunday night, hello. Mm-hmm. And then number two, it's like, if I can, I can. If I'm not, I'm not able to. And I got hit up in the morning on Sunday with just an itinerary of like what time this person's landing. And I responded, and I was like, I was just about to text you. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, what did I say? I was like, about to text you. And I was like, I don't know if I'll be home at that time, but if I am, I'll get you. If I'm not, I'm not. And the response I got was like, I'll take that as a no type thing. And I was just like, who in the fuck are you? Like, who the fuck is you? Like, that was my first response. For me, I can't even ask somebody for a fucking pencil, bro. Like, I am so shy. I also don't ask for, like, what I want. Whole nother conversation for another day. Yeah. Like, ask for what you want type shit. But, like, I was just like, that's a crazy response. If someone literally was like, if I can get you, I'll get you. I would, like, kiss the floor they walk on. Like, that's how I used to be. And I'd be like, bro, like, you know? And this person was, like, offended. And I responded. I was like, do your thing. And I was like, I'm just saying that if I can, because I have dinner with my in-laws or we're going to hang, whatever. Like, I'm not going to get up and be like, going to the airport now. Like, I have plans, but it could be over by then. I just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I know it's frustrating on the other end because you're like, well, I got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I think said person asked other people. Nobody was available to pick them up. But it's just like...
I think people were, because I'm in your place a lot of the times.
Yeah.
It's more frustrating when you don't just say yes or no. You know what I'm saying?
And I could be like that. So I get that.
So your answer, because that's the answer that I would give. But also like, that's not the answer
they're looking for.
And I feel like, and the intent is well on your end, but yeah. We have to be able to be like, yes. Or no, I can't.
I get told that a lot. And, that's interesting.
And yeah. The thing is that when you, even though your intent is right, like when you go about it like that, you just come across a certain way, which it isn't bad and it isn't good, but it's just what it is. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, you're therapizing me. I love it.
Yeah.
No, it's true though, because I get told that a lot and I get so defensive because I'm like, I don't mean harm. I'm just telling you, like, I don't know if I can commit to that. I want to, but I don't know if I can commit to that. Not just an airport ride, but 100 other things. So what you told me, it resonates with a lot of people in my life, I feel, because they're like, yes or no. And I'm like, I don't have an answer. Like, I want to, but I don't know if I can. I'm not going to tell you yes because you're going to hold on to that yes. Mm-hmm. And when I don't show up to the airport, you're going to be mad.
Yeah, and also, though,
you know,
I will say this, because this is what I'm learning, is that I'm telling you that we should be like the type of people that'll be yes or no.
Be a thoughty, be direct.
But at the same time though, no. Like, be you. Like, and that's the thing. A lot of times, like because people are requiring me to be a yes or no type of person, which I know is the easy route, but it's like, that's not who I am. That's not my personality. Mm. If I want to do it out of nowhere, I'm going to fucking do it. And I'm sorry if people out there are more like Tati and get frustrated.
I think the world is more like
yeah,
that.
And yeah, and I feel like, I'm not sorry, but if you're more like Tati and you like that, then I also respect that. But it's like, respect us for being so like
indecisive.
Carried. Yeah, I think so carried about you guys.
So I think like on the other end, I think personally I would be frustrated with that answer.
Yeah, I get that.
But I wouldn't get mad at you and respond that way. That is where I disagree. I would just in my head be like, you know what? Like, I don't want to put that pressure. Clearly, they don't know. So let me just go find somebody and get an answer in the meantime. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
I wouldn't respond the way they responded to you, but I will also be frustrated. But I would just ask take it around. As a no and, more yeah, I would take it as a no and just keep pushing.
What I just don't want
feel that, yeah.
for you.
Yes.
Is that if for us, if for everyone,
for us,
everyone, everyone that represents us is I don't want you guys to feel us to feel like we have to be anything that we're not. And I feel like
that's a great
I feel
point.
For you. You know what I'm saying? I feel for you. And I thank want you. You to know that.
You're right. I don't want to be like characterized or boxed in.
Because I love
like,
that about you.
I love that about you.
I love that there's always like a possibility.
Right. You never know. You am never I going to show up to the airport? Am I
maybe.
Not?
You're like a walking cliffhanger.
Yeah. Or like Marco tells
we
me.
We don't know what happens.
A like. Walking contradiction. Yes, I'm a contradiction.
No, he called you an oxymoron, which yeah, is hilarious.
That is yeah, hilarious. So I mean, it, true is what story. It is what it is. That's who
it
we
is
are.
What it is. It really, I think it's a part of our DNA because I can't picture myself being that direct because I also can't commit. Like, yeah. And not in a bad way, but no, it's really. Like if you're like, can you do this? It's like, I
like you genuinely
able to.
Want to do it, but you don't know if you're capable of doing it. But because that's the right. intention is there, yeah. you're not saying no because you intentionally want to be special. A good friend and helpful. Yes, absolutely.
That makes you special. Thank and you. That makes you special.
It does thank make you, you special.
And we're all special.
We're a bunch of just loving special people.
Special group of kids.
I
over
love
here.
Us.
Short bus over here.
I knew you were
going to
say that.
I knew it. I want to go there. Anyway. Mr. Marco, what is your affirmation for us?
My affirmation is if you're going through hell, keep going. So,
what? I
yeah,
like that, actually.
If you're going through hell, keep going. That's
damn.
A famous
you going through it?
Winston Churchill
oh,
quote.
God, you would.
Oh, Churchill? No wonder I'm like, that sounds very
Winston
like,
Churchill.
Profound.
Yeah.
Is that like where like those new churches?
History.
City churches?
No,
he was the prime minister of England. Yeah.
Didn't oh,
World
had
War
nothing
II.
To do with church.
History.
Oh, I thought it was like one of those new churches that are.
Person.
Oh, okay. So he said that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
No, that's it was
cool
Father
quote.
Winston.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I love Father Winston because she says things that I would say.
New church.
Yeah, I'm like, I okay.
No, yeah, you learn something new every day. But
I love that. So yeah. You're going through it, or you're just more so.
Kind of. Just it's like a lot of shit going on. Every like, it's just been crazy this month. I feel like I've aged 15 years this month. So
yeah. In 1 month.
Yeah,
dang.
I'm already 55.
I don't want to age that much anymore.
Right. So,
you mean in your wisdom.
No, and my oh, stress, shit. My wisdom, my lack of patience, like, yeah.
With me?
With everyone. Especially you, Nestor.
I feel like I try your patience, but not on purpose. It's just so you know.
I feel like you are the golden retriever, and I'm the black cat in this relationship.
That's a great example.
I don't.
You're
I mean,
like
it,
Tom and Jerry.
I'm not going to lie, that went past by me, and I was going to wear... Actually, I was going to wear a Tweety and a Sylvester.
Tweety.
But yeah, if you're going through it, just keep going through. Get to the other side,
just
you know?
Keep swimming.
I love that. I'm going to really take that into consideration.
Just keep going.
Father Churchill.
That's just keep
wild.
Swimming? What?
We love Father Churchill.
I'll just keep going.
Swim through the fire.
Finding Nemo.
Some days it's hard, dude, but I feel that. I love it. All right, so we're going to dive into our topic, which kind of stems from our previous like convo. So we're talking spring cleaning, kind of deep diving into like what that means to us individually, any kind of decluttering. Mm-hmm. What else did we say? Kind of just like a form of
or decluttering your mind.
Yeah, decluttering your mind, your heart, your soul.
Practicing like self-care, even maybe. Would that ooh. Be would that be a part of decluttering your mind? Practicing self-care?
It can be if that's like important to you. I know like when the beginning of the year hit, we talked about like, you know, kind of like setting goals and like expectations mm-hmm. and stuff and just like what we want for the new year for ourselves, for our loved ones. But like with this, I'm curious if there is something, whether it's something new, something like you've been carrying for years and years that you want to kind of get rid of and like declutter from your life now that spring is here. Everybody's been quiet.
Silence. I was thinking about what I was going to say. I was thinking about decluttering the mind, right?
Yeah.
I was telling you guys how I brought to you guys' attention if you guys have ever been in a situation where like you guys just you just start like having bad thoughts as far as not bad thoughts about yourself, but like talking shit about people in your mind and just being maybe negative.
Yeah.
Maybe just bullying someone in your mind and just start talking shit. Yeah. I mean, you're bullying
people up? Right. Yeah. In your head.
Yeah. I think it's one thing to think it and another thing to do it. It's safer for you to think it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, are you like cursing them out in your head? Is that kind of
just talking shit? Like, you just talk shit.
Like, damn, I'm going in on this person right now. Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Someone can.
In your own head.
Yeah, like, I could just be thinking all these bad things about Paulina and the things that I think. I don't know how to say it.
Literally, like just going in on a person, but you're not.
I don't know how to say without being nice. Though,
you're not voicing it, but it's in your head, and then you kind of have to take a step back. And I'm like, damn. I'm kind of ruthless.
And
right
like
now.
Just changing your thought pattern, because a lot of times, like, you just go off in that, and then you just then you internalize that, and it becomes who you are. And who wants to be a fucking bully? Nobody.
No, for sure.
Who wants to be a bitch? Nobody.
Nobody. For sure.
Unless someone needs you to be a bitch to so that they can fucking change. But yeah. Typically, we're talking more about like just decluttering that mindset and just that, you know, out of your life. Like, you just want to be more a person that's at peace, I believe, a person that's speaking life. You know what I'm saying? A person that is that's building people up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes along with like where I see myself right now in life, decluttering. Not necessarily purposeful decluttering, not purposeful. Like, it didn't happen on purpose. It's just happening. Does that make sense? I'm decluttering because shit happens, and you're forcefully decluttering because people show their ass, their whole ass, their not whole, the half not cheek, the, bump, the whole thing. And I think I like the way you broke it down where you internalize it. Cause I'm a type of person when I'm like upset, like really upset, like angry, disappointed, I'm a crier. And it's not necessarily because like, oh my God, how could you? It's crying because like, I want to like, in my head, I want to like, go crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I got to remember who I am and like be the bigger person. And so that's my way of like letting it out. And I think I'm allowing myself to feel any emotions I need to feel and then voice myself once I'm in a space where I could be calm and logical and not say things out of like emotion and not say things that like later I could regret. I'm very proud of myself, and I think that's part of like decluttering, holding on to things and just allowing yourself the space and the time. The time is the big one, like not reacting right away. And just allowing yourself to voice how you feel and allowing people to take it how they take it and moving on from it. Gotcha. Not holding on to like, I really wanted you to be accountable. I really wanted an apology out of you, and being okay with not getting that. And just letting people show themselves and being okay with walking away.
You know what? I have such a hard time doing that.
It's hard.
Working alongside my brother really helps me practice that. It helps me practice that. I was going to say another thing. Like, you said space and time. But me, it's more like the space. Like, like also creating a boundary. So I've been... None of you guys showed up to my brother's event, but who's counting?
I wasn't invited.
He technically didn't invite us.
No, I put it on. I mean, don't be like those people that need you to have a personal invite.
I need a personal invite.
Where'd you put it? I posted it all over social media for like two weeks.
Bro, I don't know what
you gotta. No.
Anyways,
you have to send it to the group.
I'm not mad at it. I don't care.
You just make a Google
people
invite.
People support who they want to support, and then if you don't get supported, then that's the energy you.
No,
put out
we want to support.
Whatever. Anyways, but this is the thing.
And I love you, but I'm not like watching like everyone's events. Like, you gotta send it to me.
Everybody's watching me. Come on.
Okay, no, I'm so sorry. You're right. How dare I ever say that?
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But we're talking about decluttering, and I think for me, it's being able to create those boundaries for my sake and the other person's sake.
Yeah.
One of the things that one of the guys that he's very actually peaceful in our team, the way he's helping me out, and I was just like, no, you guys do what I tell you guys to do, and that's it, you know?
Period.
That's my way of decluttering. But that was my old way of decluttering. But now he's saying, look it. Since you're coming in as a artistic advisor,
different AA.
Like, so many things that I give my brother and his team pointers on.
Uh-huh.
Instead of, like, you getting aggravated. Like, if you give us like your insight on things and we don't follow through it, let's do this. Why don't we meet with you like either once a month or every other week? And then we just leave it there, you know, and it's up to us whether we want to apply these things or not. And to me, I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, that's so cool, because I'm the type of person that I'm always thinking, and I'm always thinking, how can you make this better? You know, when I'm working on a project with a client, I'm like, okay, like, this was okay, but this wasn't great. So how can I make this great? You know? And so that's the same thing that I apply to anything, you know, whether, you know, and even in the podcast, I say like, we need better lighting. And, you know, producer Marco went out and, you know, bought all this lighting. There's always things that when I'm working at a project, like I'm always thinking about. And so I want to apply it right away. And so I think my way of decluttering is being able to just create those ways of separating myself from, like, or putting a stop to myself, creating those boundaries where, so I don't keep going, and it's okay. Just, you state it where you need to state it. And like you said, then now you give that space, and now you give that time for people to be able to
allow them to receive it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think receiving.
What? Sexual.
Reverse. I think, so there's this quote that says, the craziest thing about communication is when you think it's actually happening. Mm. When, like, you think you're communicating something to someone, but they're not really getting it. And you can't control that. You can't control how they receive a message or how they receive advice or how they receive your feelings. Yeah. And that's something that I think we have to own and deal with. Mm-hmm. And that kind of comes with decluttering too. Like, I'm decluttering this need to like react if people don't react the way I want them to when I'm being vocal about something or they don't receive the information how in my head I think they should, right? Yeah. And that's totally fine. To each their own. Like, everybody's entitled to act how they need to act, react the way they need to act. And that's something I think us as humans in general, or maybe not all of us, but me, have to let go of.
Also, like, I just thought about this as you were saying that. When we're, I think what happens when you start decluttering, decluttering out of your mind, what we need to be careful is that we don't clutter other people with
Like, where are you taking it?
Yeah, and I feel like I'm going to say, like, I want to take ownership of the fact that I do that, you know, I do that. And I'm learning how to have that balance of like how to not do that, because something so beautiful as, like, you know, you're clearing up your mind, and also you are giving people, like, for me, like, I do a lot of giving people advice about certain things, you know, artistic things, you know. Mm-hmm. And so how to not bombard people with all this stuff, mm-hmm. where it's gold, right? When somebody gives you advice on certain things, that shit is gold. To me, it's gold. Like, if you're giving me artistic advice or business advice or any type of like solid gold stuff, like, you don't want it, that to become like, we're saying, clutter.
Right.
Like,
right.
This ain't clutter, baby. This is gold. And it's like you said, the way you come about it is very, very crucial. And a lot of times we don't.
I think
that's where the balance is at. Or where
I think to add to Nestor's point too, I kind of want to look at the flip side of that. Like, yes, it could be gold, but one person's treasure is another person's trash at the same time. Damn. So I think you have to consider who's giving you the advice. Did you ask for it? And like, how credible is the advice? Who's it coming from? Is it coming from somebody who genuinely wants better for you? Because there's going to be people who want to instill things in you, but maybe it's not the best for you. Right. And so that kind of, when you talk about decluttering, you want to make sure when you declutter, you have the space for things that inspire you, motivate you, educate you, not things just like you're taking everything. Because sometimes then it could get too loud, right? Like, too much advice could be a little overwhelming, but kind of taking it upon yourself to evaluate, all right, are the intentions good on this advice? Is it from a credible person? Like, I understand maybe business advice from Marco, credible. Maybe from some other people who've never done anything business related? Not so much. Like, if I gave you business advice, I'm not the most credible person. So take that with a grain of salt, right? So I think people need to be open and embrace advice, but not feel guilty if you don't take it.
Yeah.
I saw this quote once, though, and it was saying something like, don't ever take advice from somebody that you wouldn't, or fuck, what was it? Maybe it's like, don't take criticism or something from someone you wouldn't take advice from. I don't remember what it exactly was.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, something like that. And I was like, that's actually really true. Like, you've never done what I want to do or whatever. So it's like, why would I even like take your advice per se, you know? Mm-hmm. Or like, you're not a credible person.
Yeah, people who've never achieved what you want to achieve can't really critique or give you advice.
Maybe that's what it was. Because
like, you haven't done it, like you said. So like, people are easy to call people crazy or doubt what they can do because they haven't done it. And that just shows like, maybe you're just not made out for this.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree with that.
I think that's one of my flaws, though, is like, I never take advice. And I think that's like one of my few flaws because I'm nearly perfect.
He said few flaws.
Yeah. One of the few that I have.
You're nearly perfect?
Yes.
Nearly.
Nearly perfect. You can ask my wife. But I think it's, I don't take advice. And it's like, for me, it's a sense of like, I just can't, I don't know. I just like the credibility aspect of it, the trying to do it myself aspect of it, the like, I need to learn it firsthand kind of stuff has just been, it takes
over. You also need to be humble.
I don't think it's a good or bad thing. I think it's just.
Because I love giving advice. Like, I love giving advice about everything. We know. But thank you. But if I like someone, if someone tells me something, I'll be like,
you didn't say thank you. You just,
but yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it could, I don't think it's a good or bad thing because sometimes, like she was saying, not taking advice from people is probably the reason why you've gotten to where you've gotten. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, if you've taken advice from the right people, where could you go even further?
Yeah, no, you know? I know. I mean, it's like the saying, like you go faster alone and further together kind of thing.
Like that?
Ooh, damn.
That was a sick one.
Yeah. Who do you feel like you do take advice from or would take advice from in your life?
It depends what it's for, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's interesting because I think out of the room here, I probably have the most, not close, but the most
money. No, I'm just kidding.
Relationship.
you probably got the most money.
We put all our coin purses together. We still don't got it.
You might match Madeline, but probably not.
Probably not. No, she got her coin purse.
But cool. I think as someone gets older, like as a guy gets older, it's like the relationship with their father, right? Like at first, my dad doesn't know shit. Now, like the person who I go to most is my father. Because like at first, you want to prove your father wrong. You want to go against him.
Oh,
he
damn.
Doesn't know that. Yeah.
It's damn, really, that's kind of.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's like a big thing where like in
like
a lot
pride,
of.
It's like a pride, right?
Kind of. It's like alpha male kind of thing.
Huh. Is this most men with their fathers?
Really?
Yeah, I most guys.
Really?
A lot of like a lot of men I know, like even like Mexican men, like they idolize their father and they like.
No, I get what he's saying because I think between my brothers, that goes and my dad, that's always happening. Me, I'm like over here, not over
well,
here.
Well, yeah, because it's more of a masculine thing.
Well, the thing is that it does come to me because my dad always makes me feel, like I'm trying to make him feel like I know better than him or like I'm above him. And I'm like, boy, like what the fuck are you talking about? But again, oh, it's because,
right?
Again, it's because of the fact that men are like that. Like my brothers... My brother, I shouldn't say the name. One of my brothers, bleep that out. Okay, bleep that out. But one of my brothers, he's always feeling like I'm challenging him. I'm like, no, if you've taught us, that means that we should be better students, right? And kind so like.
Oh, absolutely. Really?
And so it's like.
I believe that.
How do you think I'm like coming against you? Like, you know, but again, it goes back to his point that people are just. Like men are just trying to challenge each other and
really,
and then you come to a point in your life.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a relationship where like you grow up like idolizing your dad, right? Mm-hmm. And then you grow up, okay, my dad is wrong about this. Like he can't know everything, right? Trying to prove him wrong, and then you go to the point of like your dad was right, and now you go to the point of enjoying time with your dad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of like the cycle because
really,
yeah,
I guess for us women too. But go ahead.
Yeah, for you guys, it's different. It's kind of like. Similar to a woman's relationship with her mother, similar to a man's relationship.
Mama knows, but you're like, no, you don't. You don't understand me.
Yeah.
Same kind of situation.
Okay.
And so, like, now it's my dad. Like, now I talk to him and I get his advice about stuff a lot, but more with the personal stuff. For the business stuff, like, yeah, I've been around people and I've talked to people and that's, but even the business side of it, like, it's just kind of, it has to be, I have to figure it out on my own kind of, and that's like to my own detriment, I think, at times.
Because of the advice, the lack of you.
Talking to the mic.
Because of the lack of you taking other people's advice.
Yeah, because like.
The right person's advice.
It could have saved me a few steps, but I also am one that kind of likes the journey, so I kind of like walking down the steps either way.
You like to struggle.
Yeah, I like to figure things.
Productive struggle.
I like to figure things out on my own, kind of like.
It's good. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. Again, it's not good or bad. It's perception.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel, I'm curious, as men with your relationships with your fathers? Yes, the men's in the room. Do the you man. Feel
the man? The man. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Do you guys feel like when it comes to your fathers, do you feel like it's, what's my question here? Do you feel like it's more like, do you hold any resentment as far as like growing up? And so I'm always just really curious.
Yeah.
Like, do you hold any resentment from growing up? Like, was your father not around as much because he was working, or was your father not around because he was, I don't know, like whatever, like doing something that like didn't pertain to the family? And I'm curious if like you men, like you guys have that with like me, I talk about it in therapy, right? With my mom, I'm like, okay, like, you know, this and this and this, right? But I'm curious, like, what is, I guess, like when it comes to your upbringing and your father's role. I'm just always really curious because obviously I think a father is really important in a man's life.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious as to like what that relationship was like for you guys. Like, did you guys have resentment? Do you still hold on to it?
Let me put my man hat on.
Okay, put your man hat on today.
Okay.
What kind of hat is it?
Am I boy chonies?
Get rid of the G-string.
No G-string, boy chonies. Okay.
Love it.
Honestly, I feel like I was so lucky to have the type of dad that I've had. My dad and my mom are like, I don't want to like put a specific type of characteristic that a man or woman should have. But my mom was always more like the, I wouldn't say cold, but she wasn't as like affectionate as my dad. Mm-hmm. There was only one time for me that my dad, I feel like, I think he learned from that situation. It was like a one-time situation.
Okay.
And I was resentful for a little bit, but I was a little kid. And also, like, at that time, my dad was in his 20s. So he's learning how to be a fucking dad. You know what I'm saying?
He's still a kid himself.
Yeah, he's kind of like a kid himself. I remember one time I had, like, hurt my leg or whatever. And I remember, like, I was walking, like, with a limp, you know? And at that point, I didn't have this gay perspective or this flamboyant perspective. And not that anything is wrong with that. But I remember, like, limping like that, right? And my dad thought I was, like, walking like a gay boy, like, being flamboyant, like, being, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I remember my dad telling me, like, why are you walking like that? And in perspective, like, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, wait, you think I'm walking like that because I'm trying to be a girl, or I'm trying to be like flamboyant, or I'm trying to be this, or I'm trying to be that? Like, boy, my leg hurts. What are you talking about? Like, right. That's the only reason. But I remember he changed up after that. It was that one time my whole life. You know what I'm saying? After that, my dad, you know, even when I came out or whatever, or I told him, like, you know, I was attracted to men as well.
Yeah.
I remember my dad saying, like, boy, I knew this a long time ago, you know? So, like,
oh, wow. Ever since you walked.
Yeah. So, my brother, I remember he checking one of my brothers for not defending me one time. My dad, you know, he buying me, you know, when baby fat was in? Like, I remember that I wanted to have, like, the man version or the boy version of the baby fat, but I didn't want it to be at that moment. I care so much about being looking like so girly or whatever, or flamboyant or whatever. And so I wanted the same thing, but in fat form. You know what I mean? And so the same way that the baby fat jacket was, where it was
cropped,
poofed and everything, my dad got me a boy version. And I remember that jacket was, and at that time it was a lot of money. It was like $300 and something. And all my brothers got $100 jacket. But for him to like, meet my needs, you know, as, you know, the son that I was.
Right.
He did it. And so I was so lucky to have a dad like him, you know, like he was such a great dad.
I such love a great that. Day. That so makes my heart happy.
I was resentful for like a minute, like 1 hour or whatever.
Yeah, that's 1 hour.
And then like he my dad was a good dad.
That's great. You know, that makes me very happy.
So I don't know.
What about you, producer Marco?
I think my father was a good father, a good person to make me an adult. Like he wasn't good as I was a child, but he made me ready to be an adult. And I think that that kind of leads to his own trauma and his own backing. Mm. And I saw this video the other day that made me sad. Well, it didn't make me cry, it made me sad. Where it's like, can you imagine your dad as a kid, right? Mm. Like, can you imagine your dad as a kid?
Whoa.
Like,
I can.
when I imagine my dad as a kid.
I can. He'd be class. He's class clown.
It's like, it's a kid who never was allowed to play, never was allowed to laugh, never was allowed to mess around.
Oh, wow.
Because the upbringing that he came into didn't call for it, right? He had, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters. My grandfather wasn't around. My grandmother was very, very hard. And my grandmother was kind of like your mom, like a little bit more strict, like very like disciplined.
My grandma too.
Like would beat the shit out of people. And so, you know, as a kid, like you, especially like a boy, like you don't need that. You need like a nurturer, right? And a father is a protector, not necessarily a nurturer. The mother's more nurturing. And when your mother is neither nurturing, not nurturing either, like that causes trauma. So I think, you know, my dad wasn't around. There was a lot of the times that I resented that because of the business. I didn't want to get into business. Gotcha. I originally was going to go to law school to be a lawyer. And so now looking back at it and looking like how much work it is, and I can only imagine being first generation, not knowing language, not having that, and looking back as to what he accomplished even in that face of adversity, now I understand why he wasn't around a lot. Now I understand why he was the way he was. And it just puts it more in perspective as an adult. But as a kid, as a kid, like, it was always sad that my parents weren't around.
You know what's crazy, Marco, that you said that? Because that he set you up for to be an adult.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just had a conversation with my dad, and I told him, boy, you didn't teach us how to, be financially
sound, literate.
Yeah, like good managers, I guess, of our money or whatever. I don't know if that's how you say it. Yeah. But
yeah,
I'm like, you didn't teach us how to do that. But also, I think about it like this. I'm like, to being a good person and being the person, like, being like a wholesome type of person, I feel like my dad and my mom like really taught us how to be that. And so like,
I could see that.
Like literally I remember, and people talk about it, my client the other day, who's someone who's not my client, he said, I heard it from our other friend that your dad would take everybody in his work truck. My dad had a work truck, and it was like, cause he used to work for a tortilleria company called La Mexicana. I think it's still around.
Yeah, it's on 47th.
I know, the one on 28th and Kedzie, right here around the corner. Mm-hmm. I'm
hungry.
And
right?
Sorry.
Give me a tortilla.
And I remember someone saying, like, your dad used to pick everybody in the neighborhood and would take us to go play soccer. And I'm like, yeah. Uh-huh. And that's why we didn't have a lot of money, because he was
spending gas on your ass.
He was spending not just on gas, but on feeding these kids, I'm giving them soccer uniforms, on doing all this stuff for everybody in the neighborhood. And, you know, it was a little bit resentful at times, because it's like, you know, we could have probably had more if you would have, you know. But it's like, we get what we get, and who we are now is because
literally,
of that.
Look at what you do. Like, you're all about working in the community for the community. Mm-hmm. That's literally a product of your father.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But yeah, I think it's interesting to see. But yeah, as the old man gets older, he gets softer and hopefully he enjoys.
That's crazy. That is true. As men become older, they become way soft.
Yeah, I believe it. The hard ass has got to go at some point.
I'm going to be so soft. We had a discussion during vacation with Madeline. And Lucy's like, if Madeline was to bring her boyfriend, would you let her? Like, if you want to bring her boyfriend, I'm like, hell no. Are you kidding me? Never. I'm never going to allow that. It's like, what about your son if he wants to bring his girlfriend? And I'm like,
I think about it.
Story. I know, right? And
double
then
standard over there.
She's like, what if Madeline has a girlfriend instead of a boyfriend? I'm like, lesbians love me, so yeah, I'll let it.
Lesbians love me.
No, do they really though?
Yes. Shout out to our lesbian.
My
listeners.
Dad had us like he treated us like girls, not girls in the sense like that, but he did.
There was no specific like gender.
Yeah, like no we difference. Couldn't come and fucking have hickeys because he will beat you up if that.
Yeah, really? That, and that's just not.
Yeah,
cute.
Because my dad's not the type.
My kid's ass.
He's like, you're not like anybody's property, boy. Like,
period.
Oh,
you're not even marking you up.
Right. Yeah.
They're marking you up.
Yeah, that's not.
My
cute.
Dad had us on check like that.
Wait, so it's a double standard not to have.
Yeah, a lot of
absolutely. It's a double standard.
What are you talking about?
A lot of guys. A lot of men. Are proud of their boys having shit like that.
Yeah, of course. Like, God. Yeah, my son. You see that?
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it's more like I just like I don't know. It's like the like relationship of like having another guy in your house. It's like, bro, get your fucking own house. Get out of here. I don't want you here around here.
That's I see that perspective. That does bring perspective.
I don't know either.
I wouldn't like because you're having a boy. It gives me the and you have a girl.
Yeah.
So one you're gonna one. Like. I hope. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do, but like, I would hope that they kind of. You abide to the same rules to both of them. Yeah. But it sucks because you're also Mexican, so you're probably
but
not
But also, he says that now. My sister, oh my God, she literally...
Got away with everything?
No, she has my dad, had my dad here. Like,
really?
Literally. My dad was the most machista guy as far as like a lot of things. I'm not with me and stuff like that. But... In other areas, he was. But my sister, oh my God, she's my dad's princess. He would do anything she would tell him to do.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's going to be like that for you guys?
Absolutely.
See, that's what I'm saying.
He admits it.
I feel like Madeline's going to be, I'm going to be like, here's like $1,000. Go buy what you want. And then the boy be like, here's $10. Go make it work.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of.
She's going to be
like, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's different. I don't know. It's like, you know, daddy's girl, mama's boy, same situation.
Yeah, but my dad treated me like with the utmost respect.
And Tati, you should not talk. Have you seen your relationship with your father? I mean, that is literally you.
Oh no, I know. I'm not disagreeing with that. I was just talking about the double standard part.
Yeah, that part.
If my dad had a son, my dad would be like, "Yeah, son, like get her," but like different with me. But I think that comes with like this whole idea. You know what this reminded me of yesterday. I went to go see one of my college friends, and I haven't seen her in a while. And so she got married. She had two kids, two under two.
Ooh.
And so she talks about how, like, she's living the life where she's so spoiled now. And, like, she's never understood what it meant to be spoiled and a princess and because her husband treats her like such. And then she's like, it's crazy because, like, she has two boys. And she's like, we're going to raise these boys to be, like, great men and just kind-hearted people. She's like, and you know, she goes, it's crazy, but it's like, as a parent, it's almost like you wish you could pick their significant others because you want to protect them and you're like, you only deserve the best. And it's like, I wish I could pick who his future person would be. And so it's like, I kind of get that, like why my dad is the way he is and why he says things he does. Cause it's like, you made this little girl and you have her on a pedestal and you want to keep her in your box. And it's like, like thinking about like traditionally, like when somebody gets married, you're giving her away.
But you kind of do and you kind of don't get to pick as a parent, I believe. Well, I believe.
You have influence.
I'm not a parent because of the fact that those whole, like all them years you have to like nurture that brain to thinking a certain way. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like that's why your standards are high, you know?
Which is
not a bad thing.
I agree. And we've talked about this. I don't need to keep talking about it. Absolutely. But till this day, my dad always told me like it was in the beginning. Like he would tell me, listen, if a guy tells you this, I said it. I did it. I said it. I'm going to tell you now. Don't fall for that bullshit.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My dad put me on game a long time ago.
How old were you? 11 years old.
No, literally. Like... Even when I didn't have like boy, like remember I told you I didn't officially have a boyfriend until I was 16. But even before then, my dad's like, "Oh, that boy has a crush on you. What did he tell you?" Like things like that.
Oh wow!
And my dad would always say, "Never believe this. That's game." Till this day, I'm in the third floor, and my dad would be like, "What's this man telling you? Oh, dude, please, you're not falling for that, right?"
My little brother,
I'm like, come on now, you know I'm not.
My little brother has four daughters, and one of those girls, she's like, "I have a boyfriend," and she's like 4 years old. I'm like. Girl, you do not have a boyfriend. He laughs. I'm the one who's telling her. Yeah. Him, like,
yeah.
Telling those little girls, like,
That's funny.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that day. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, no, not
fun.
Not
fun.
It's going to be fun to have a little girl I until know. She's, like, 13. Then she's going to fucking want to kill me.
Vice versa.
I might not be here after that. 13 years might be gone.
You're going to pay for all you the should. Sins you did with Marta.
Oh, my God. You I should. Am. I for sure
you
am.
You should remake the Mean Girls thing with your daughter.
Which one?
Where she's
I'm a cool mom?
Yeah, the
cool mom. Oh, I could so see
Halloween
that.
Costume.
Oh,
oh, my God, I could see that.
That'd be so cute.
I love that.
I'm excited. That's my
favorite movie. Oh, yeah, your son could be, like, a character, too, somehow.
For what?
For a Halloween costume, because y'all both your babies are gonna be so close in age.
Yeah, like 3 weeks apart.
You should like plan
3 weeks apart.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy.
That is crazy.
I know.
So like you're gonna be like decluttering your vagina.
Pretty much.
Yeah, going back like, to the topic.
Get out. Yeah, so going back to the topic. You're just gonna like
veg. No, just everything, the vagina.
But they say like
I know it's all.
They say
out.
Once you have your baby, you feel so empty. Like you miss your belly. Like, do you think you're gonna miss that?
No.
No, I'm what you know. Some women do say. I think Lucy said that too.
I
like,
do hear that.
I
yeah.
miss my belly. Like,
I don't think she's ever said that.
No, no. I don't know. So, I know women have said that.
Yeah, they like
so
being
I'm
pregnant.
I'm wondering.
It. I don't think I will. I just feel like I'm at that phase too now where it's like, it's just in the way. I'm not even that big. Like, I,
yeah.
there's
she,
women
yeah.
bigger.
She, it's a she.
Oh, she, I'm so sorry. I
know, oh, you're
sorry.
Talking about
she's talking
the
about
belly.
The belly.
The, it's yeah. the belly, but the yeah. she is in there. Yeah. But yeah, like, I just don't think that, you know,
you
it's
don't be,
comfy.
You don't want that. You
just no, I'm ready for her to be here in the sense of like, I'm ready for my, and I've said this before, and it's a weird statement, but I'm ready for my body to be my body again.
Mm, that's fair.
You know, I love sharing it with her. That's my baby, but I am ready for her. Not yet though. She's still a little too little.
Yeah.
A couple more weeks. Let's keep cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want her to cook some more. And then
oh
when the time
God,
comes.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I just thought about it. My sister's also going to be close to.
Oh my God. All
yeah,
three.
Hey, showers were a day apart.
Dude, my sister, my sister's happened. Belly is like your belly and Lucy's belly combined.
Really? Is this her second kid or first?
First baby.
Really?
She got twins?
No, I told her, imagine there's three babies that just come out of you.
I think Yo, about that. I don't know. What if there's one hiding
yeah,
in there?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so scary. That's
I didn't wild, know it was pregnant.
But awesome.
No, she's...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think for me, my decluttering is going to be a mix of like
literal
decluttering my body and yeah. then like decluttering just my life. I think I'm in for a rude awakening, but I own it. I'm like, this isn't like shocking to me. I think I always tell Javi, my husband, I look at him and I'm like, your world's about to be so fucking rocked in like 5 weeks because he thinks he's going to like maintain this like same life. And not that he does anything crazy, but it's just like he thinks that like life will be this organized place and this, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, like that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The damn dog's going to lose his mind a little bit too. I look at him, I say, Benzo, your life's about to be rocked. Like, it's just going to be a lot of rocking. Everyone's going to get rocked. But I'm very excited.
We're all going to get rocked.
We're all going to be rocked.
That's what led you to the situation. So let's not do that.
You said what?
That's what led you to the situation. That's why
hey,
it's elusive.
I
can't
make
where's the lie?
Bed rock.
But I'm excited. I think for me, it's also going to change. And this is like another topic for another day. But mm-hmm. like, you know, I do hear a lot. Whether it's solicited or unsolicited, I do hear a lot about like friendships changing and stuff.
Yes.
And I definitely want to talk about that because I think it's mm-hmm. like a really interesting topic. It can be baby, it could be a life event, but like
mm-hmm.
just like friendships changing. And I mm-hmm. put it on my Instagram. I was genuinely so curious and I'm like, why do y'all be losing friends? Because I have a really unpopular opinion about that. And we definitely want to dive into it on our next episode if we can.
Mm-hmm.
But like my opinion is like, you just weren't that liked to begin with. I know it's really fucking mean. But and I,
no,
well, I'll dive
facts.
Into it. Teaser.
Facts.
We can dive into it.
Facts.
It's definitely a conversation for another day, unless whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like you just weren't that like to begin with.
Yeah.
Because
absolutely.
Why would a baby or a move, like if you move, you know, to another city, whatever, like why would that change your friendships? Yes, shit's gonna change. I'm very aware of that, people. Like it's gonna change. But I hear a lot from people a lot where they're like, you lose friends. And I'm just like, okay, let's just say one friend fickles out. Okay. But if you lose all your fucking friends or like a lot of them, like you say, I lost a lot of friends, I'm just like, Okay, let's unpack. Why is that?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just thinking too harshly of it, and maybe it'll happen to me and I'll get slapped in the face and it'll come become my reality of like, oh shit, now I see what people are
She's
saying.
She's like, I only got three friends, Marco, Nestor, and Thaddeus.
I know, I was going to say, every week. That's my running joke. I'm like, I got two friends. I got two friends.
Yeah.
But like, it's just interesting because I feel like when this baby comes, a lot of things are going to come to light. Mm. Yeah. Friendships will come, mm-hmm. like, you know, career, like that's going to come to light in the sense of like, you know, I love my job and stuff, but it's like,
yeah,
that I won't is be true. Able to talk to them for 6 weeks.
That is know? True. We do have to have an episode when you do like a life changing or when you have a, like a life changing thing happen to you. Like,
mm-hmm. why is that? Yeah. And my comments were actually really lit because it was a lot of different perspectives. And it was more than just the majority of people were saying, like, you know, priorities change. Okay, no shit. Like, Tati can go get a job at like another teaching job. Let's say you left where you are and you went to another school. Mm-hmm. Priorities might change for you too, but are you going to lose your friends? Right. I don't think so.
Right. Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. that's a huge life change, like switching like a school or like mm-hmm. a program, whatever. So like, I'm just trying to think like, you know what I mean? Or if you open up a different kind of business, like all of a sudden you were like, I don't know, selling like earplugs. I don't know. I'm making things up, like something really random. And that was like your thing. Earplugs. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, you would be like, mm-hmm.
what,
you know,
what the hell?
Right. It just, to me, it's very interesting.
Some people use it as an easy scapegoat.
I think that could be
I
it.
Truly believe that. Like, people, if they don't want to be somewhere, they'll just have no problem, like, using any excuse to just get out and not try.
And I think that's it. Yeah, that's like it. I said, the comments were lit. Like, there was a lot of perspectives. They were blaming, not blame, people were saying, like, you know, it's the mother's yeah. fault in the sense of, like, she gets preoccupied and busy. And then you hear from the people who don't have kids or aren't married, put their perspective of like, well, why it happened to them, why they don't talk to people, and a lot of times they don't feel included. So it's very interesting. I want to dive into that.
Oh, that's Dang. True.
You know, and I think, like you said, any life event, that could definitely apply. So very interesting. But yes, decluttering, spring, do it. Highly recommend. I think we're all going to kind of take that time as well to do the same. Mm-hmm.
Your space is a reflection of your mental space. Your physical space is a reflection of your mental space. Keep that in mind.
I love that. And we're going to end on that note.
Yes,
I love
we
it.
Are.
Follow us on social. Thank you for tuning in another episode as well. We love you so much. At Paulina Rowe.
At Talk with Tati.
At The Bra Bro.
And at Never Too Shy Pod.
Yes.
Bye, thank guys. You, guys.